Tonight on the table, on the altar in front of you, you see some symbols of Jesus. And tonight we focus on Jesus as our serving king. We have a jug of water and a basin and a towel with which we remember that Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And we have the meal that Jesus hosts and serves. This Easter week, we are focusing on walking the way of the King with Jesus. But this King comes to rule not as a tyrant, but as a servant to his followers. He takes the lowliest position imaginable. He gives his disciples a living demonstration that in his kingdom, love chooses to express power through servanthood. It's a powerful demonstration that in Jesus' kingdom, the greatest possible act is to serve someone else. He sets the standard for what it will be like in this kingdom. He says, "As I have washed your feet, you also must wash others' feet." In other words, serve people. Why is that? Well, in Jesus' day, washing other people's feet was the lowliest possible job. It was usually reserved for household slaves. It's not really hard to see why when you think about it. Even in our day, with closed shoes and paved roads and no animals, there's something still maybe a little bit icky about touching someone else's feet. You know, you might get that kind of bad sneaker odor or something like that. But in Middle Eastern culture, the feet and the soles of the feet are considered unclean. Why? Well, they walked on dusty, unpaved roads. They shared those roads with animals, horses, sheep, donkeys, and cows. There was no sewage system. And so both human and animal waste and mud and dust and dirt and water were all mixed up together, and they had open-toed sandals. So you can imagine that after a little while of walking around, the feet would literally be filthy. They would have filth on them. So to wash someone's feet was to get your hands dirty, literally, so that another might be made clean. And this is what the serving king does for his followers. He gets his hands dirty in order that those who trust him might be made clean. As icky as the roads of Palestine might be, and as they might have made people's feet, it's not as bad as how bad our sin is to God. To clean someone of sin, you must forgive them. And to forgive them, you must bear the cost of that sin. And Jesus, the serving king, is willing to get on his knees and get his hands dirty for you, to show you the full extent of his love, to let you know that there is nothing that he will not do to make you clean. So that's the meaning of the water jug and the bowl of water. Jesus, the serving king, is willing to be defiled so that you might be pure. But the serving king comes not only as slave, but also as host of the meal of redemption. It was Passover night, as I've said before, when Jesus instituted Holy Communion. And Passover was the sacred memorial for the Jewish people of the night that God set them free from slavery. It's the night when the Israelite people remember we were slaves and we were set free. We were under sentence of death and we were saved. It's in this context that Jesus takes bread, breaks it, and says, "This is my body given for you." It's in this context that Jesus pours wine and says, "This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." And so the serving king gives up not just his dignity, but his very life for his followers. And tonight and each Sunday, he is our host at the meal. And we remember we were slaves to sin, but Jesus set us free. We were under sentence of death, but Jesus gave us life. The serving king invites you and assures you of his love and forgiveness. through inviting you to partake in the meal of his redemption when he says, "Do this in remembrance of me, given for you, shed for you." Tonight, Jesus comes to us as the serving King, our slave who cleanses us, and our host who redeems and saves our lives. Amen.